welcome to another CaperCast. This is Jim Brown. I think many years ago it was Arthur Piver who told me the story that back in the old days of commercial sail, the crew, if the crew was lucky enough to have a mattress instead of a hammock, the mattress was stuffed with straw, and they called it the donkey's breakfast. Well, this CaperCast is Randy's breakfast. It was recorded on board Scrimshaw in late March 2017, the day after Randy Smythe finished the Everglades Challenge race way ahead of everyone else in his unique little boat Scissors. Now, Randy is well known as perhaps America's greatest racing sailor. He has a very long list of impressive wins in a very wide variety of vessels. And his 18-foot trimaran Scissors is so named because the crossbeams pivot at the main hull so that the ama or outrigger hulls can make an excursion at the ends of the crossbeams forward or aft. This allows him to put the float exactly where he wants it in order to prevent the boat from pitchpoling. Depending on the point of sail, he can actually move the floats forward or aft. And that means that the float hulls can be small and light relative to a regular trimaran. And that's one reason, only one, why the vessel is so blazingly fast. Now, Randy is also a renowned multi-hull sail designer. And therefore, the rig and sails on his little Scissors have always been splendid, beautiful things. And with that rig and that boat, he has won the so-called Everglades Challenge race two or three times over the years. And this is an endurance race that's run from the Tampa area down around the southwest tip of Florida to Key Largo. And this year was the roughest weather that they've had yet for this race. The start was postponed for a day because of strong winds. Most of the competitors moved their boats 70 miles south to another starting point. Randy did not. He started in Tampa Bay, sailed 70 miles farther than anyone else, and still finished well ahead of the leaders of the pack. Now, I just happened to be there at the finish when he sailed into the beach at Key Largo, and I noticed that the boat had something very unusual sticking up. It was an entirely different rig than I had seen on Scissors before. He calls it the hybrid wing sail. In my view, it's the first practical rigid wing sail. I was blown away by the inventiveness of this thing. I've spoken of it in previous podcasts, but don't take my word for it. This is what Meade Goujon had to say about the rig when he first saw it.
This is, I think, one of the great advances in sailing in 100 years.
In case you couldn't hear that, Meade is saying that he thinks this is one of the great advances in sailing in 100 years. Now, the day after Randy's finish, he agreed to come and have breakfast with us aboard Scrimshaw. Bruce Matlack, who now owns my old boat, fished a great pile of pancakes for us. And in the following conversation, you'll learn a lot more about the rig. So here we go with Randy's breakfast.
No, most people, you say you'd even think about a wing on this crazy race, they know you're totally insane. Mm-hmm. But here's the reality. If I had used my good other rig, you know, which is a carbon mast and super nice, mm-hmm. I'm not sure I really could have finished. This thing, it's so cool when it's windy, you just sail with that thing. Because I'd always be way out of balance with my other rig. I'd either roll the jib up, and then it had weather helm, and then I'd reef the main down, and still had weather helm. This one, when you go to the wing, it's right over the daggerboard, so it's just totally controlled, and you can feather, stop, and the worst thing is sometimes you try to run away because of shore, or, and then it's kind of scary because you start going too fast. Well, this one you can just let it weather vane
all the way around.
You just let it go, and it just and you slow right down. I mean, it's so nice because I raced in the same race and it had similar winds quite a few years ago, Left Flamingo, and it was such a nightmare because I went on the downwind part to go around the Great Circle route on the outside, and I left with a little handkerchief of unrolled jib, and I turned the corner, and I couldn't, go anything close enough to stay in the world. I was getting blown down to Key West, and then how do you put your mainsail up you know, when you, all you have is this jib rolled up in the front, how do you get it to weather vane to stop? I couldn't get my mainsail up, so I had to just sail the boat years ago.
Stuff up there.
Okay, at full speed, daggerboard down right into the bush of the mud, and that's the only way I could stop. I know anchors, and you can't anchor that stuff anyway. Uh-huh. And I just sailed until the hull, actually, the daggerboard went fully into the mud. You know, that silt, that silty garbage.
Oh, yeah.
It was blowing like 40 knots.
Yeah.
No, it was crazy windy. And I finally got in there, and I could, the daggerboard I'm anchored, and everything got calm. There's no waves, you know, in that real shallow water. And then I could wrap a halyard around my jib so it wouldn't come unrolled like a roller furler always does. Yeah. And then I could get the main up to a single reef and at least sail, but it was still way too big. Now, had I had the wing, I would have just been sails off and...
So just let it weather vane.
Yeah. It was that, you know, the old rig, I remember what a nightmare it was in the same exact boat, same exact conditions. And the wing was actually so much safer and so much more controllable. And, you know, it's just like, and so more balanced, you know.
Yeah. It's just neutral.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, here's what's cool about it. This rigid wing can rotate 360 degrees. All other wing sails, except those that are freestanding, which have not been successful to date. Rigid wing sails are suspended up by rigging, which allows the wing to rotate only about, well, 75, 85 degrees. Then it runs into the rigging and can't rotate any farther. In the case of Randy's rig, well, we'll call it the hybrid wing sail rig, the shrouds and stay go all the way to the cap, all the way to the very top of the mast, and there's a bearing there and another bearing at the step at the bottom of the mast so that the wing itself can rotate 360 degrees. That means that it can be aimed into the wind or allowed to weathercock at any point, which completely turns off the power.
That's like the efficiency, you know, it talks to you in different ways, the efficiency. But if you're sailing along with, you know, daggerboard and rudder, jib and mainsail, my daggerboard's just marginally big enough because I made it for shallow water. Mm-hmm. But if you have a lot of waves, it can kind of stall once in a while if you're not going real fast. But with the wing, it has so little side load.
Oh.
The daggerboard all of a sudden is plenty big. It never stalls. I mean, just the efficiency is unbelievable. Yeah.
Less
side load, forward. More forward load. Yeah. And it's the old, you know, lift to drag ratio of a wing versus a sail. I mean, it buys you so many things, and just be able to tack up a channel at, you know, 85 degree tacking angle instead of 110 or something, or whatever. You know, just all that, it all adds up to just major efficiency. It's funny how it's good at the extremes. You know, it can power up when you want it, but it can disappear when you want it. You know.
Whoa.
Like, even look at this mast, you know, the square mast with wires everywhere. And, you know, that there's more windage on that than my wing, you know?
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
When the wind blows, it screams.
Right.
There's got to be resistance happening.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. You ever hold on to an anchor line when it's windy, you know how much wind resistance you have. So it has some kind of hidden benefits. It's not just a race thing, you know? It's...
Well, okay, this is not video, so let me try to tell you what it looks like. Imagine the main wing feather of a bird, you know, an eagle or a crow or whatever. So the rigid portion of this wing has the profile, the side view of a feather. It even has the long, gradual bend of a feather. It doesn't look like a straight stick. But it does not have the section of a feather. You know, feathers are sort of cupped on one side and hollow on the other. So let's take the other feather from this poor bird on his other wing and put the two of them together with their hollow sides facing one another. Now we have a hollow, symmetrical wing. But let's put a so-called shear web between the bones in these two feathers, and we'll round off the leading edge of the section and make the forward portion back as far as the shear web and a little farther out of carbon fiber as a giant D section. But from this carbon D going aft toward the trailing edge of the section, it tapers to a fairly sharp edge at the back. And this portion, at least in this prototype sail, looks rather like a glider wing. It's got ribs inside, and that after portion is covered with transparent mylar. You can see right through it, except where there are beautiful colors. The thing is absolutely gorgeous. Now let's take this beautiful feather and chop it off at the bottom square and mount it on the boat in a bearing that allows it to rotate, and support it at the top with what we call a three-wire rig, two shrouds and a jib stay, not made of wire, made of synthetic line, 1/10 the weight of wire for the same strength. It looks like the thing is being held up there by kite string. And now this giant feather, somewhat taller than the boat is long, can rotate 360 degrees without conflicting with the rigging.
The bearing at the step.
Just a pin, stainless steel pin.
Oh, it is?
That's all it is. Half-inch bolt, rounded off.
Oh, really? Is that all?
Yeah.
Well, does it have to be in concentric alignment with the bearings at the cap? Do you have to think about that, or can they be off a little bit?
It's even more complicated than that. Uh-huh. What it is if you have a bird's eye view of the boat, the fact that it scissors.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Right.
You have to have the masthead has to be exactly over the rotation center of the amas. You can't change the mast rake, in other words.
Yeah.
If you move the mast rake forward, it wouldn't scissor. It would get tight, and then the amas would go this way.
Right, because the rig goes out.
Right,
here.
Yeah.
Sure.
With this, so there's a lot of things that has to be exactly right there. It can't be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But where else would you put it? I mean, it's dead nuts.
Oh, it's in a great spot. Yeah, but yeah.
That's wonderful, right?
You were talking about the axis. You can only have so much in front of the axis. Yeah. If you get greedy on more than about 16% in front of the axis, it would be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have it, 100% behind, that's okay too, but then it's a little harder to trim. You want to get it so it's, fingertip trimming, but yeah, you have to have more in the behind than in the front. So it does, by the way.
16%.
Yeah, the books say you go to 20, 21, but that's the actual point of power, but once you get there, it'd be really whippy. It'd be scary.
Uh-huh.
So you need to put it way below 20 to be safe on the feathering thing.
So the other thing that really got me, Randy, it took me a few minutes to come up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you helped me along, all right? You were telling me stuff that was coming at me so fast it made my head swim.
Right.
But the very idea that you don't have to take it down, you just leave it up.
Walk away, yeah.
Compared to most wing sails, all of a sudden, the big problem is gone.
Right.
Now the next clip gets a little garbled. What Randy is talking about is his experience of sailing around the world in record time on a 110-foot catamaran called the Team Adventure. It also had a wing mast, but it could not rotate 360 degrees.
You sailed a 110-foot cat, the Team Adventure around the world, it had a mast about this big, 130-something feet tall. But that was fine if the boat was oriented the right way, but you're tied up to a dock and it turns into a reach, it doesn't rotate enough to depower, it starts trying to sail. It's like, this is crazy. Very dangerous,
Well, the audio gets pretty garbled here with people coming and going from the boat. But Randy went on to explain that the real disadvantage with most rigid wings is that they cannot be depowered even in a great blow unless you're trying to sail into the wind, because the wing will not rotate 360 degrees. But even in this longshore race, a lot of the competitors dropped out because the wind was very strong at times. Randy even saw water spouts had winds of 40 knots or so. I think gusts of 39 knots were measured on shore. But with fingertip trimming on his wing, he was able to sail the boat as hard or as softly as he wanted. And even when allowed to weathercock completely so as to apply no power to the boat, the mast did not buffet or vibrate. A lot of that depends on locating the axis around which the mast rotates in exactly the right place. And with his wing section, the location of that axis of rotation was at 16% of the cord. That is, 16% of the wing area is located forward of the axis of rotation. Now, that's going to vary with different sections, of course. That's referred to as the balance area on any foil. Well, at this point, we moved down into Scrimshaw's stern castle where we could continue talking with Bruce. And I spoke of the balance area on rudders.
Well, I've had a lot of trouble with overbalance on rudders.
Oh, and then it goes weird on you. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing.
So. Yeah. No, it's just a few percentage off, it'll reverse on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It changes its speed. It's different speeds. The rudder on that on Bruce's Windrider, for instance, if you catch a wave and the boat takes off, you don't even know the rudder's there. You can do anything with it. This way, that way, the boat doesn't care. The boat's going to go down the wave.
Right.
I have surfed that boat probably close to 20.
The
rudder gives up right at about 15.
15, yeah.
And then it's just nothing.
On your own.
It's like a stall in an airplane. It's just like it's gone.
Right.
And I'm on the wave face, and I have no steering.
Yeah.
And it's just staying. The keel is just going
right. Make it
right
go straight.
It has that long keel.
And then it starts to
decide one way to go.
No, the wave's going to
break
out,
on you.
Right? So I gotta stop.
Do something.
So I use the sails to head upwind.
To
stop it back down to 15. Yeah. Then the rudder kicks in again.
Kicks in.
And then a power jive down, take the drop down, and go the other way.
The other way now.
And repeat. I did it four times on one wave face.
Whoa.
I'm going, son of a bitch. I had a movie in my head going on.
That's amazing.
And you can almost feel the heat coming off the polyethylene that you're going so fast. It's going.
Never bubbles.
How do you describe that to people? You know, only if you wave sail. You know,
That's right.
Get that.
Well, you're listening to some pretty elevated jargon here. Two champion sailors comparing yarns. Bruce was the first national champion windsurfer, the first world champion windsurfer, and he's even raced against Randy in windsurfing. So they were on the same page, but let's turn back now to the hybrid wing sail.
Our patent cleared, so. No, you're not patenting the wing, you're not patenting the swivel, you're patenting the fact that you have a wing that swivels and can hold sails, you know, the mainsail.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unique, simple old novelty, which nobody's ever done, so that's the unique part. Yeah, everybody's made wings, everybody's made swivels, everybody made rotating, you know, that's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like
the hybrid,
Hey, did you get that? The wing holds sails. That's right, where the trailing edge of this hollow feather joins, it comes to a rather sharp point at the back end, but there is mounted there a sail track, so that a very modern version of a soft sail can be hoisted on the trailing edge of the rigid wing. Now this sail, also extremely tall and narrow, has a modern square top and full-length battens, made of mylar, wonderfully colorful, transparent in places. It can be hoisted all the way to the top, at which point it more than doubles the area of the fixed wing. Thus the term hybrid, a combination of the traditional soft sail together with a rigid foil. But the soft portion can be hoisted any amount, any height, or lowered to any height in order to reef the area. It is a rigid wing, soft combination that is reefable. Of course, when the soft sail is hoisted all the way, it will not clear the rigging so as to allow the whole combination to rotate 360 degrees. However, as the wind increases, it can be reefed down to about half height and then clear the rigging. So that this wind machine allows applying anything from full power, full area, all the way down to completely weathercocked with no power applied, all accomplished with one halyard. So that it becomes by far the most efficient combined with the most adjustable, variable device for extracting power from the wind yet known to man.
In fact, it's really funny because just about a month ago, the top wing designer at America's Cup got interviewed, and they wrote an article. And his basic consensus was these wings are really efficient and everything else, but they're never going to be a modern day boat use. No, nobody's ever going to use these things because they have to go in a warehouse every night, and they're hopeless. Proved him wrong.
Now, this first prototype, the one on scissors, which is the only one I've seen, is two-year-old technology. That's right, they have had to keep it under wraps for the last 2 years while waiting for their patent to be approved. And Randy assures me that during that 2 years, the advance in technology has been enormous. It's going to knock my head off, and I think I'm going to have a chance to see the next prototype at about the time this caper is posted. And furthermore, I've been told that the rig, this new hybrid wing, is only less than a third of the total project that these people are working on. There are two other major components, hydrofoils and automatic flight control for hydrofoils, which I believe I'll be able to have a look at next week. But I don't know how much of that I'll be able to bring to you at what time, because these guys are still being kind of secretive about this whole thing. They've spent so long trying to avoid a public disclosure that now that they have a patent, they're not quite sure where and at what rate to disclose their wonderful work. So this is a project with multiple phases, and it's a consortium of several gifted designers, including Tommy Gonzalez, who is leading the way at their outfit called Fast Forward Composites, and Paul Beaker, who is now the chief structural designer for the Oracle Syndicate. Paul has been in this group for some time. He has not been able to talk about it. Now, the very notion of using a rigid wing on a sailboat has been suspect from the start. For flat-out racing, it's kind of a no-brainer because it produces a nominal, at least 20% increase in the thrust provided by the sail, the wing, the whatever it is. It's an incredible increase in propulsion. But it's received a fair amount of bad-mouthing because it was thought that it would never reach public acceptance because they were impractical. You had to take them down and put them in a warehouse, get them out of the wind for overnight all the times except when you were using them, and then most of them would not rotate 360 degrees so you could never really shut the power off. So anyone working with rigid wings for sailing was sort of thought to be on the lunatic fringe. So all the while, this invention was slowly working its way through the catacombs of international patent law. There were guys even like Paul Beaker who were taking a lot of water from their fellows.
Yeah. And Beaker had to, you know, zip his lips because, you know, he's not allowed to talk about this. Uh-huh. So he heard this stuff to the Oracle team all the time, but he knew that we had this other, had an answer to it. So he had to be secret about it. No, it was really torturous for him because he's there designing with our, you know, that big foiler we're building. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, he's on our team with Tommy and myself and Beaker. Anyway, so he just like biting his tongue, you know. It's a good story. I mean,
I think it is because it gives us some idea of all of the, you know, maneuverings that go into creating such a momentous contraption as the hybrid wing sail. But more important really is how it fits into the rest of the program. If they can make it work with hydrofoils and with automatic flight control, even at big boats in big seas at high speed, you know, I can't help fantasizing here. I can see one of these things the size of a jumbo jet, two or three winged schooner, crossing oceans on schedule as part of the great green recovery. Recovery from what? Well, that's the subject of another caper. But I think of this thing as a real waypoint in nautical history, and it's happening now, and I'm just tickled to be able to be part of bringing it to you guys who are listening to Jim Brown's Outrigged Capercast. Now, thanks in part to you for your contributions via Patreon and direct. I'll be away next week up in Jamestown, Rhode Island. I'll hope to bring you a brief report by telephone through Joe Farinaccio. But let's close here with thanks to Bruce and Carla for putting on this shindig, and one more story from Randy Smythe about the race.
It's actually kind of a good year to start a day, you know, behind or 70 miles behind everybody, because normally I never see anybody. You know, you start off the beach, I pass them, and it's like a solo race.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is fun. I saw, you know, me, all these guys sailing it, and you watch how they sail. And there's one Hobie T.I., just going on inside Pine Island. It's real windy. Reach.
Yeah.
And he's spray flying. He's ripping along. And I see him. And I knew he couldn't. I knew he couldn't hear me. Ooh, boom! Put the armor this far from him, just like, whoa! And the guy is, what in the world? I mean, just totally took him out.